Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Hi, folks. Be sure to visit my website at dr-history.com for a short personal video message, to listen to the latest stories, and to leave a comment.
Good morning, Dr. History.
Good morning, Zeb.
How are you?
I'm great. Had a fun time at the fair and rodeo last week.
You know, it's the first time I ever saw you push your stomach in here with a wheelbarrow because you ate too many of the...
I ate everything I could find at the fair.
Why does food taste better at a fair?
It does. And corn on the cob, every time I was there. Corn on the cob, oh yeah.
And maple bars.
Maple bars were fantastic, and they sold a lot of them.
And then you had to come in here this morning without anything in your hands and tell me how they made them and everything, and I'm sitting here drooling all over my microphone.
But you got to get them fresh.
Yeah.
If I'd have brought you some from Saturday, you'd have said, not so good.
Test me. Go ahead, test me.
All right.
What do we got?
Okay, today's story is called The Dromedary Express.
Oh, by the way, we don't have any thank yous or anything?
Not today.
Okay,
no.
All right.
The Dromedary Express. You know what a dromedary is?
Yeah, it's a camel.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay.
You thought I was a big, dumb cowboy.
Oh, you're well read, Zeb.
Okay.
So, you know, so this is up in Canada, British Columbia, where took place. So there's a lot of fortunes that were made by men who freighted goods over the more than 350 heartbreaking miles between a place called Fort Yale on the Fraser River and a little outpost called Quesnel and later Barkerville in British Columbia during the Gold Rush. And there were a lot of fortunes made, and there were a lot of fortunes lost. Now, one of these freight handlers was a guy named Frank Lawmaster, and he came to Caribou Country in 1859. And, because, you know, Gold Rush always lures a lot of people into the area, you know.
Yeah.
But so he had a mule pack train that competed with horses and ox-drawn wagons. And because of the extreme hazards of the route and the time consumed, the cost of mailing a letter outside by 1860 was $1. Now,
really?
Back 1860, $1 to get a letter carried out. I mean, that's a lot of money, really.
A lot of money.
Yeah.
And did they have any surety that it would get made?
Not necessarily.
Yeah.
And we'll kind of talk about that. And give me a high five, Zeb, when remind me of the time.
Okay, high five.
Okay. I should not even ask.
High five.
Okay. So Frank Lawmaster's pack train of 24 mules could cover about 15 miles a day from Yale, the starting point. The road clung to the rocky walls of the Fraser Canyon for 6 dangerous, tedious miles. But then that was sometimes followed by the desert-like terrain covered with sagebrush.
I would imagine those mountain trails. I don't know if you
I'm going to show
picture.
You a picture.
I bet you it is scary.
Okay, look at this, Zeb.
Oh, my goodness sakes.
Okay.
And they went around that on the edge?
See the road? And then back there you can see a team pulling a wagon.
A wagon went on that thing?
Yeah. Now, here's another picture.
Oh, my.
Okay, look how narrow that is. And steep. It drops down to the Fraser River. And steep on the other side, you can't climb it. And this is what the freighters put up with.
There's a big sign there that says you are here and you better stay there.
Be careful. Be right. Very careful. Well, anyway, Lawmaster knew that their jobs, his men knew their jobs, but nevertheless, animals and the costly cargo were often lost when the animals would careen off the mountain during a bad stretch of the trail.
Wow.
So it was dangerous going, and, you know, I can't help but think that maybe some of the men went over with their teams and wagons.
Yeah, really?
Possibly.
Wow.
So anyway, so Frank Lawmaster somehow got some news in a letter. And here's what he said. He told one of his employees, quote, "The United States Army is disposing of some camels they've been using as pack animals. I've come to the conclusion that camels would be ideal for hauling heavy loads up here. I intend to take the steamer out today and go down to the States, try to keep things running smoothly while I'm away." So you got the picture. He's headed down to buy some camels.
Really?
Down.
And take them to Alaska?
Yeah, to Canada.
Canada. Pardon me.
Yeah. So Lawmaster purchased 23 camels for $6,000, which is kind of expensive.
Oh, yeah.
But in getting them aboard the ship at San Francisco, one managed to escape, and on the stormy trip north, another one died. At Victoria, the crowd stared. He loaded the remaining 21 onto the paddle wheeler, the Emily Harris, and so returned up to Yale, where he was going to use them.
Now, when one escaped, I'm just going to say this, it wouldn't be hard to find them.
Well, it was San Francisco. I don't know. Where would the camel hide, you know? So, anyway, boat day at Yale always created a stir of interest, and it was customary for many people to gather at the landing, and never was there such a commotion as on that bright day in May of 1862 when the camels made their appearance.
Oh,
so that was an exciting time, you know, when the steamer came in and unloaded goods and stuff, and here was something they'd never seen before. So, it says, that was indeed a most unusual sight, and it says the beast lumbered off the steamer, followed immediately by another and then another until the full quota of 21 had disembarked. The crowd was speechless. Few among them had ever seen more than a picture of one of these, you know what they're called, ships of the desert.
Yeah, and they must have been halfway broken or trained.
Well, the Army had used them to pack.
Oh.
And now, I've also heard stories about how some of those escaped, you know, and roamed the deserts of the Southwest until they died off.
I see.
So,
you know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow or find an awesome template. No judgment.
But as the animals filed off the ship, the leaders, the camel leaders, spied a mule tied near the landing and without absolutely no warning attacked it with slashing hooves and biting teeth. The mule was killed before the amazed bystanders could attempt a rescue. Then the camels turned their rage against the onlookers.
Really?
Not really friendly camels.
I've never known that one would be. I've heard they used to have a camel down by Mesquite, Nevada, right on the interstate.
Oh, yeah?
Okay. And you could pull in there and see, and that son of a gun, every time you got near the fence, he'd spit at you.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Well, so this Lawmaster, you know, this guy, he pulled out his wallet and paid the man more than the mule's actual value for the mule that got killed.
Sure.
So, in addition to their excessively vile tempers, the camels had the most terrible odor.
Yeah, it's true.
And the citizens of Yale retreated, holding their noses and giving the unfamiliar animals plenty of room.
Yeah.
Now, I can't say I've been close enough to a camel to really smell how bad they must smell.
Well, that's your test for next week.
Okay, I'll find a camel.
Okay.
So, he, quote, he says, "I figure to clear $60,000 the very first year I worked these camels." He told the men clustered on the dock, he says, quote, "You see, they are able to travel 50 miles every day to a mule's 15. Each can tote 1,000 pounds compared to 400, the most that a mule can pack. The real clincher is that if water and grazing are hard to find, these camels can get along several days without either, so I don't see how I can lose.
Now, did he have a contract to do this?
No, I think he was just a freelance packer. You know,
we just
pack whoever needed supplies. But not only was the smell from the camels unbearable to the men, but to every animal which got a whiff of them, these strange imports also proved to be very antisocial and attacked anything and everything that moved. The men who tried to handle them learned it was a risky business.
What did they do? Did they just have a halter and a halter shank, what did they have?
All I can say is that, you know, pictures I've seen of just a halter, right?
Yeah.
Just a halter with
a
rope.
How many guys did it take to hold on to one of those?
I don't know. But anyway, here's where things kind of went south. The real trouble occurred on the pack trails, which I just showed you pictures of, with the Fraser River down below and the mountain. Whenever horses, oxen, or mules neared the camels, they immediately tried to bolt.
Uh-oh.
And often succeeded. Before long, reports became widespread that whole pack trains had gone crazy with fear and had plunged headlong off the canyon trails or the mountainsides, bearing with them their loads of freight. The camels became known along the Caribou Road as the Dromedary Express and very soon were universally feared and hated. Well, you can imagine.
Well, yeah, because I'm just sitting here thinking, how wide were those trails?
Well, I mean, look at that. That's
not very wide.
You know, maybe twice as wide as the wagon itself.
Yeah.
You know?
And supposing somebody's coming back
the
other way.
Right, and how do you pass?
How do you pass?
Well, like I say, it's just barely wide enough for two, so I guess they could pass. But camels are bigger, you know?
And they don't like anybody.
And they don't like anybody. So, anyway, Lawmaster, he said, I'd be willing to try anything anybody can suggest to help me with this problem. And so one of his buddies said, well, how about giving them stinking devils a bath? How about washing the camels?
Who is going to do this?
Well, let me just keep going. So, yeah, they said plenty of strong lye soap ought to help de-skunk them. Okay, you've washed horses, Zeb.
Yeah.
Would you want to? Anyway.
Don't bring a camel over here.
No. And then one of the guys offered up a thought. He said, why don't you get some of that OD cologne that's what you can spray them with? Spray them with some cologne.
This is getting crazy.
So you're going to wash them with lye soap.
We've washed them with lye soap.
Now we're going to spray them with cologne.
And they've only ran over and killed four people.
Right.
And now you're going to put cologne on them?
So a hat was passed and a tidy sum of money was deposited. 2 months later, a carefully packed carton reached jail, and it contained the order of OD cologne.
Really?
So, I don't know, a couple of gallons of it or something.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Run them through a car wash.
Yeah, and so one of his buddies said, for the love of Pete, wash them stinking brutes with this and make them smell good.
Oh, my goodness.
Anyway, it was a good try, and the men got a few laughs, but that was about all. Nature had endowed camels with an odor more men could not change.
Really?
You can't change the smell of a camel. Yeah. I don't care how much lye soap you use.
And they basically have a mind of their own anyway, don't they?
Yeah, it sounds to me like, I've never ridden one. I wouldn't mind trying it just for fun.
Would you really
get on a camel? Yeah, I'd get on one, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Frank Lawmaster soon learned that the terrible roads of the Caribou had never been intended for the new burden barriers. Hard pan and flinty rocks combined to tear at the camel's hooves, lacerating them to the extent that at the end of the 700-mile trip, the round trip, these beasts were badly lame. They just got lame because their feet weren't used to, like a mule's or an oxen, you know.
Well, they didn't really have a hoof or anything.
I don't know.
It's kind of like a human hand.
Yeah,
in
I don't
some
know
regard.
How tough it is. I mean, yeah. They're used to being on sand.
Well, you get down and pick up a foot.
No, I'm not gonna get that close. Well, Lawmaster tried to alleviate the situation by having a rawhide and canvas covering made to protect the hooves, but nothing could stand up very long against the grinding surface of the rocks and these freight trails. You know, it's just too rough. So you try to put leather on there, it's not going to last.
No.
Well, losses suffered by other handlers of the mule trains and horse or ox-drawn wagons continued to mount with terrifying regularity. George Hilton, a young teamster freighting up to Quesnel, met five of the camels going south at a point 6 miles along the canyon road from Yale. This was one of the most treacherous stretches, which I showed pictures of, of the road. Although George was alert to the danger of meeting the feared Dromedary Express, he somehow had not bargained for the frenzy into which his 12-horse team was plunged when the wind blowing from the north, they got the whiff of the camels.
And they went over the edge?
Well, let me keep going.
Well, hurry up.
Snorting with fear, the horses thundered along the narrow road, and you saw that picture.
I'm jumping.
The young man desperately yanked the heavy reins, but it was a hopeless struggle with the start. When George saw that the lead horses suddenly topple off the edge of the road, pulling the remainder of the large team after them, and the young man did the only thing left to do and hurled himself off the wagon box to his right. Well, this action catapulted him against the sheer rock wall, which lined the rock on of the way on the one side. George was knocked unconscious and was mercifully spared the screams of his horses as it dragged the heavy wagon down on top of them into the churning water of the Fraser Canyon.
Holy smokes.
Zeb, you and I are horse lovers. And
That's really sick.
Yeah, I mean, any bad death of an animal, but a horse, mule, you know, it's just hard. And anyway, somebody said, well, it's happened again. One of the camel drivers, he stopped beside Hilton's form, and he said, this guy looks pretty bad. Let's try to get him to a doctor. So anyway, they did get him to a doctor, and I guess he was okay.
Well, you would have thought, wouldn't you, that the other teamsters that were going up and down that trail, when the word got out that they were using camels or dromedaries, they would have done something to stop it or whatever.
Well, and that's where things kind of started going south on this whole plan. Lawmaster's freighter forced one of the camels to kneel. Well, this still back to this George guy that got knocked down. He forced one of the camels to kneel, and together the men placed George Hilton across it. They hurriedly made their way to Yale. The victim's injuries were extensive, though not fatal, and his broken right leg necessitated the use of crutches for months afterwards. Worse still, Hilton claimed that the loss of his freighting outfit had bankrupted him. I mean, you've got all your money wrapped up in this, I don't know how many horses he had in his wagon, but he lost the whole thing.
He lost everything.
And the freight.
And no insurance.
No. So, anyway, a lawyer already working upon the numerous lawsuits being filed against Lawmaster took Hilton's case too. The owner of the Dromedary Express was a fair enough man and paid Hilton's damages without argument, but this was just one of many such claims being made against him. Well, at last, a petition was signed by the irate freighters and sent to Governor Douglas in Victoria, which was capital of the newly formed province. And the petition was strongly worded, too strongly to be called a request. It was kind of a demand. It really demanded that Lawmaster be forced to take his camels off the road entirely and added that the unwanted beast should be driven out of the country.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, anyway, you know, fearing reprisals and realizing that his camels were a total failure, Frank Lawmaster resigned from freighting. He gave a few of the detested camels to friends.
Oh, that's a good gift.
And I'm thinking,
boy, would I like to be his friend.
What kind of friend? Here, I got a camel for you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. But not for any practical purpose, but just for a curiosity. But others were freed in the desert-like country near a place called Kamloops. For over 40 years, camels could be spotted feeding in that section of British Columbia. After 1906, apparently no more camels were seen, and it was thought that they had gradually fallen prey to predators like, you know, grizzlies or whatever.
Yeah.
And Lawmaster...
Who'd want to get close enough to kill them, though?
Right. And, you know, would you want to shoot one to eat?
Well, now, wait a minute. You're stretching things.
How hungry would you have to be?
I don't know anybody that's ever said, boy, that camel steak was good.
That camel tasted really good. Put them on the old grill. You know, anyway, so Lawmaster, financially unable to meet the mounting number of suits filed against him, and knowing he had no sound defense, he quietly left the country and returned to the United States. He made his home in San Francisco, and some 14 years later, it was reported that he fell off a ferry in San Francisco Harbor and was drowned.
Oh, my goodness sakes.
So that's the story of the Dromedary Express.
There you go. Wow.
And, you know, a lot of people try to come up with ideas for freighting and, you know, but you can't beat the 20 mule teams and oxen and even horses.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the best way to do it.
Can you imagine, though, that you're driving a team of horses and you're going down this really steep, narrow trail, and all of a sudden your lead horses, they throw their noses up in the air and they're going, if it were me, I'd be getting off right there.
Well, you've been around horses and mules enough. If they get excited or spooked, whether it's a train going by or somebody toots a horn real loud, I mean, they can just go whack them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So,
let alone camels.
Yeah, and but I look at these pictures. I think that would have been a dangerous road, no matter what you're on.
You know, we don't. Well, look at the Snake River Canyon, though.
Oh,
the
yeah.
road that went down into by the Prime Bridge, right there.
Yeah.
I mean, I wouldn't travel down there on a wagon.
No, I mean, you know, just driving a car down it, you're paying really close attention.
Oh yeah. Well, I wouldn't go with you.
Well, thank you.
That's a good story. I hadn't heard that one before.
Yeah. I've heard of them, the Army using camels, and I think I did a story on that maybe a long time ago.
How would you like to be the private that is assigned to take care of those camels? I mean, there is such a thing as desertion.
And I think reenlistment would be a really hard thing to think about.
Oh, my goodness. I heard they stunk, and I know they're mean, but oh, my goodness.
But I'd get on one if I had a chance. I would. Just to see what it's like. I mean, you know, you see pictures of them riding across the desert at a gallop.
And I've heard people say that's pretty hard to get in time with.
Okay. Yeah, that would take a little getting used to.
Yeah, can you? And they put those little boxes on them, on the top.
Yeah, and they're just going back and forth.
Yeah, you're like a little BB in a bowling alley going back and forth. And
beat to death.
Oh, well, the next, are you going to wear a turban and everything?
Well, no.
Okay.
I'm done with camels.